Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action.
Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can?
Hey, everybody. Josh here. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. Man, can you believe it's day two? Nah, I guess it's not that many days. It's only day two of 2018 on my journey, my commitment to 365 podcasts in a row. That is insane. Now, you might not realize it, but there's like a lot of work that goes into a podcast, like post-production. I have to record it. First of all, I have to be inspired. I have to think of things that are valuable for you and for me that I can contribute and put it out there. And then there's like editing and we do all this stuff. And then we type all the show notes. We have to like load it into our podcast platform thingy. And look, I'm not saying feel sorry for me. I love doing podcasts, but this is going to be a crazy year because we're doing a weekly vlog for our family, which is going to come out very, very soon. Episode one. We're doing 7 podcasts a week. I'm going to do a Facebook Live, like basically TV show every week this year. That's my commitment. As part of my goals and my habits that underpin my plan for 2018. But I'm here to tell you a little secret. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. It's not as shiny on the inside, of something like this. Life is chaotic, and I have 5 kids, and it's like 5 degrees in Michigan, and I'm trying to build a new office over here in Ludington, Michigan, because the internet at my home, where I intended to build the most epic, magnificent office at the top of the castle house ever, the internet is so bad I can't do my job. So I have this office in downtown, and I'm like coordinating things, and I don't feel good, and my daughter's sick, and I'm running back and forth. My other office, where all my employees are for my software company, is 3.5 hours away from where I live. And it's pure madness. It's crazy. We just had the holidays. We had Christmas and New Year's. And if you have kids, you have to do like Christmas like 5 times, right? Like you go to grandma's and great grandpa's and the other grandma's and the other person's and this place and that place. And we are more tired after Christmas than we were before the quote unquote holiday break began. So here's my point. As you do your planning this year, don't expect it to be perfect. Don't expect to have perfection on the clarity of every single thing that you need to do. And as you start trying to do those things, when the wheels fall off and it gets weird, that's okay. That's okay. Like, it's a beautiful chaos sometimes. And for our software company, I'm so proud because we worked so hard for so long. We did $1.2 million in revenue this year, which is so cool. Like, I invented a thing and drew a picture on a napkin and, like, built an app. Like, I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer. I don't know how to build an app. I built an app. We sold the app. We fixed it, and it broke, and we fixed it again 17 times. We figured it out, and then this year, everything really came together with Radius Bomb and the stability of our platform, and things started to work. But in the midst of that, I don't really know how it looks on the outside from your guys' perspective, but it was messy and it wasn't perfect. And at home with my home life, it was messy and not perfect too. We had a lot of crazy stuff. And I'm excited to announce that I'm joined by my beautiful high school sweetheart, the girl that I saw when I was a quarterback of the football team. When I walked up to her locker and slammed my hand on the locker like this, ready? Visualize this. Whoopsh. That's me slapping my hand on the locker. When I walked up to her and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she looked at me like I was nuts, right? That girl, my wife, the mother of my 5 kids, the smartest person in our relationship, Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that you remember that moment very epically. I don't remember it as epically as you do.
Oh, I remember it like crystal clear, ridiculously epic because, well, I wanted to throw up. I was so nervous. But hey, that was, what, 15 and a half years ago, right?
Well, actually, it was longer than that, but I'll give you some grace on that. That's how long we've been married.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I was just looking at the marriage. Man, that was bad. That was bad. We did date for a few years, but we got married at 20. Where did we live when we first got married, Ash?
We lived in a trailer park. It was a double wide, though, so we felt like we were a pretty classy bunch. We there are good memories. We were poorer than poor, but we had some great memories.
We loved to go to Walmart and buy DVDs. I don't know why. I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but we had like this rack, like this $12 Walmart DVD rack that you like buy in a box, put together. And every time we'd buy a new like DVD, we'd put it in there. We thought we were like building like an asset class, or that was like all of our wealth was tied up in these movies because we didn't have kids. We didn't have to do anything. We just would sit and watch movies. That was like our thing. Isn't that, it's kind of silly now.
Yeah, but I think also it was cheaper than going to the movies, so we could like afford that. So we could watch it over and over again. It was like unlimited date nights if we wanted to watch that same movie again.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you and get your perspective on, because it's the second podcast of 2018, is what should the listener, these are small business owners that, well, you already know, they're fighting the good fight. They're trying to build a dream. Maybe they're excited when they started. It's harder than they ever thought. They get some wins and they get horrible things happen. They hire a great employee, then the employee doesn't show up. They have a $20,000 in the bank. Now they have negative $200 in the bank. It's a roller coaster. What advice can we give them in terms of communication with their spouse for all the married people? I don't know, to like position themselves to have the best shot at 2018 working.
I would have to say communication is definitely key on both sides. The entrepreneur has to be able to be a good communicator and a good listener at the same time, because I would have to say, like, I didn't necessarily sign up to be an entrepreneur's wife. I am what they call a starter wife. If you know what that means, is that what it's called? A startup wife. And, you know, entrepreneurs get kind of a bad rap. I mean, they're very inspirational at times, but when they're down, it's hard. So you have to be, oh man, there's like a whole novel I could write. I can't tell you all of them. Like, you have to be encouraging to your spouse when they're down. You have to give them grace sometimes when they drop the ball in the family department. As a mother, sometimes you have to help on days that don't go the way you think they're gonna go. Dad might not come home for dinner that night and you can't lose your cool.
Yeah, and when we first got married, when I proposed to you, I didn't give you like a manifesto of, hi, Ashley, here's my marriage contract. Here's kind of what our life will look like. We're going to do the ring thing. We're going to have a wedding. And then I'm going to spend every penny we have and more than we have investing in harebrained ideas over and over and over and over and over. And I'm going to work 100 hours a week instead of a normal job of 40 hours a week, because I think that's really fun. And for me, that's like, I can't not be like that because I'm an entrepreneur. I didn't like lay that out for you. It just kind of became our life, and it was hard, wasn't it?
Oh, being an entrepreneur's wife is so hard. And I think the hard part is not very many people understand the spouse side of it. And so it's even harder because it's hard to find mentors who have been where you've been before. And so it feels sometimes hopeless. And you don't have anybody to turn to that's like a good ear to really bounce stuff off of.
Well, and not all advice is created equal.
No.
Right? I mean, there's a difference between someone's opinion and someone giving you counsel or giving you advice. If you are the wife of an entrepreneur or the husband to an entrepreneur, if your wife is the one running the business and is a maniac like I am, you got to be really careful where you get opinions and advice from, because people don't understand. This is a totally different type of lifestyle, isn't it?
It's a completely different lifestyle. And if you let some people's opinions get in your head, you can kind of fantasize about it. I have been known to sit and wash dishes and fantasize what a normal, quote unquote, life would be. And if you go down that rabbit hole and you let your mind go there, it's not cute. It's not pretty. So you have to really, be focused and really remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And it's really tough, but it's really worth it.
That's what I say all the time. What is the thing I always tell our kids, Ash?
Well, you tell them lots of things.
About being worth it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how hard it is, as long as it's worth it. It doesn't matter the sacrifices, but if it's worth it.
Yeah, think about that. Who cares if it's hard? Who cares if it's hard? Cry me a river. If you want the outcome that you're seeking, if you really want it so bad your stomach hurts, who cares if it's hard? That shouldn't even be part of the conversation. But what should be part of the conversation is making sure that your spouse is in agreement that it's worth it. And one thing I've dropped the ball on continuously over and over along the years is that. Is not communicating, like Ashley said early on, communication, articulating, sharing, casting, and explaining the vision for what you think your life for your family should look like to your wife, to your spouse. They have to be on board. If they're not on board, it's a nuclear bomb waiting to happen. And Ash, you were telling me earlier about a Forbes article that you read regarding entrepreneurs and divorce. What was that all about?
The divorce rate, I was just reading that the divorce rate for entrepreneurs is higher than the national average, like 7 to 10 points, they think. And a lot of it has to do with risk, finances, you know, uncertainty. That's a huge one for small businesses, is the ups and downs of business and what comes with it. And so there's a lot of different, so that's scary when you're reading that, especially as a spouse who, you know, who wants it to win. You know, you want to fight the average on that one. Just in general, having a marriage, then having entrepreneur, that's makes it go up. So that's a little scary to people. And I understand why.
Well, it's already a well-known fact that the number one cause of divorce is financial issues, right? You throw a small business in that mix and forget it. Things get weird really fast. And guess what? Your business plan, when you started your business, it didn't have a line item that said weirdness and then had like a dollar amount. Like, we don't plan for it. That's the whole point. You can't plan. I encourage people when you're building plans, don't overdo it. Don't over-systemize and go crazy, because you're going to throw away your plan as real life punches you in the face. Mike Tyson says, he's famous for saying, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. It's so true. Like, look, it's the 2nd of January for 2018. I hate to time stamp the podcast, but that's what it is. And you're going to build a plan. You're going to get excited. You're going to fantasize and daydream about all the grandeur and the glory and all the riches you're going to harvest next year. And that's not bad. But everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. So how do you build a plan that's, you know, as realistic as possible, but also pushes you? But how do you build a plan that allows you to still survive after you get punched in the face? And I'm here to tell you, my friends, the answer is to have someone in your corner. It's to not be a lone ranger. If you have someone in your corner, as you get punched in the face, look, I get punched in the face all the time. Like, we spent $1 million on software, more than that. This has been the hardest thing ever, trying to do this software thing. When I had my cleaning company, it was hard for us at the time, but it was nothing compared to what we've done since then.
But you got punched in the face a lot with your small business. Every punch was like unpredicted, and you were like, oh my goodness, after you thought we conquered something, you'd get a punch in the face somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I've been punched a lot, but guess what? The reason it's worked for us, and look, I'm not ashamed to say this at all. I'm not a genius. I don't have all the answers. I have a wife that supports what I do, even when I don't deserve it. I have a family that backs me up and cheers me on, even when I don't feel it. And that is an unfair advantage. If you don't have that, I'm sorry that you don't have that, because I did have an unfair advantage in that area. But there are things that you can do to improve your position. And it starts with you learning how to articulate and communicate the passion that's in you. If you have a business and you see something big, you got to have the courage to share it with the people most important to you, like your spouse, because you can't make it without them. You can't. There's some scriptures in the Bible that says a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet or something, or it's better to sleep on the corner of a roof than to have a nagging wife, right? The point of that isn't to rip on wives. The point of that is to say you are crippled when you don't have any kind of unity in your relationship. So here's the moral of the story. When you're doing your goal setting and you're identifying what habits you need to have in your life to achieve or become the person that you need to become to achieve what it is that you want, your mountaintop, your why, your outcome, as you do all that, and it's easy to do in January, as you do that, you need to bring another person into the equation. You need to bring your spouse in to look back at last year. What did you accomplish? What things did you do that you never could have even imagined? What are you forgetting to celebrate? Don't be so quick to look at next year and forget what you've already accomplished, right? You know, our little software company, I feel, is an embryo. It's this tiny little thing. I'm almost embarrassed by how small it is. It might sound really dumb to you. I'm just telling you the truth in my heart. I feel like, God, you know, why is it not further along? Why is my team not bigger? Why haven't I not been able to figure this out? But the bottom line is I took some drawings on a napkin, not knowing anything about technology, and turned it into a business that, yeah, it took way longer than I wish it would have, but we did $1.2 million in revenue. That's kind of cool, and it's just the beginning. We're just getting started, and it's hard for people like me and probably you to celebrate the wins of 2017 of last year. That's step number one. Look back with your spouse, high-five each other, and look at just the amazing blessing that you've had. And even if you had adversity, what are some of the things that were just amazing? That one big account you got, that one employee that you finally found, the piece of equipment you didn't think you could afford that you ended up getting, whatever it is, a certain connection or networking with someone or the relationship that you just established that'll be huge for you next year, there's always something to celebrate. That's step one. Step two is to bring into the process your spouse when you're laying out the vision for next year. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Ash?
I would just say that if you did have problems last year, and maybe your wife is not on board, just for me personally, because there's been times where I have not been on board, sometimes the things that are stressing them out are not the real things that are deep down inside. And so sometimes you need to scratch the surface to see what's really going on, to communicate better. Because if you sometimes dig down deeper, you find out it's an easy fix. Sometimes Josh's system,
it's not Mount Everest.
Yep, it's not Mount Everest. He always tells me, oh, it's not Mount Everest. You know, like there's been times where I get completely overwhelmed and it comes out as this big stress ball, like that I'm mad that he's not home or whatever, but really it's just because the house is unmanageable. So he'll like say, well, let's get someone to clean the house then. Like they're all fixable problems. But sometimes I get overwhelmed and I can't see it for what the problem actually is. And then I take it out on him and I do what is like a low blow and I punch him in the face that he doesn't expect. And I blame the business. I blame his entrepreneurial spirit or whatever it might be, but it's really not anything to do with him. It's just something I can...
It's just stress.
It's just stress.
It's just life. We all make little things into Mount Everest. You know, it's funny because with our kids, it's shocking to me how dramatic they are with stuff. It's like my middle son will walk down the stairs and it looks like the earth has just crashed into the sun and our entire solar system is moments away from imploding and collapsing into one giant dying star. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, Sawyer said that I was mean. He's like, oh, my little brother said I'm mean. It's like, okay, cool. Like we can handle, like we can deal with that. Let's move over into the realm of logic. It's not Mount Everest. I say that to my kids, my wife. It's one of my cheesy dad sayings at this point, but it's true. It's not Mount Everest. And if you have a team established with your spouse, it gets easier because, look, I'm like the biggest baby in the world. Like, if I get sick, okay.
He gets the man
don't flu. Kill me on the podcast, but, I mean, tell the truth. What am I like when I get sick?
He gets the man flu. He gets the worst flu that's ever been. The flu, he gets it worse than anybody's ever had it. When he gets a cold, it's the worst he's ever had it. He needs a lot of sympathy. It's just the man flu.
Come on. No, it's just because I actually did get the worst strain of flu that is possible. I'm just telling you. No.
It does lay you out, though. It does. I mean, he does have...
No, you don't have to defend me. I'm a big baby when I get sick. But it's not Mount Everest. Everything has a solution, but it's very hard to do these things on your own. I was on Facebook with Keith Kelfis last night, who was doing this gigantic Facebook Live talking about all kinds of stuff. And I clicked on it like an hour in, and he invited me on. So I went on there. I'm standing in the cold, like 5 degrees or 10 degrees outside, talking to him. And we're talking. He's like, what's your key to success, Josh? And the bottom line is you got to have a team. And a team isn't just your employees. A team is your family. You need your children and your spouse on board. What in the world? Why in the world would you not lay out where you're going and why you're going there to the people that mean more than anything? At least you claim they mean more than anything. Why would you not talk about that stuff at dinner? Why is that not part of your family story? Why do your kids not know what you're trying to do with the business this year and why you're trying to do it? That's crazy to me. And the obvious part of your team is your staff. Why don't they know? How do you articulate and communicate things? Look, and you don't do it one time. You do it over and over and over and over and over and over as a lifestyle, as a habit. Communication is an ongoing verb. It's not an event. It's not a one-time thing because you got to remind everybody because we all forget, including ourselves. So we're at 20 minutes. I feel like I'm rambling.
We were only going to do 10.
We're going to do 10 minutes of awesome passion, but we're full of more than 10 minutes of passion. We can't help it.
I think it's encouraging too. Like some people might have a hard time figuring out what really went great. Maybe they had a hard year. And sometimes that's really depressing, especially going into your next year saying, oh, can I do it again? Can I do it another season? Because, you know, winter depression is a real big thing. And I would say for remembering what that feels like in your window cleaning business, hang on. You survived. That's the win right there. You survived. You survived. You won because you're still alive. You're still kicking and you're ready to do it again. Brush off your boots or whatever it is. Brush everything off and let's do it again.
Oh, that is so good. You inspired me. Here's the problem with the internet is that we live in real life. All of us actually live in real life. But when you go online, you go to Facebook, what you're doing is you're comparing your messy, screwed up, non-perfect, sometimes embarrassing life that you know is reality for yourself. You're comparing that to other people's highlight reels. Mm-hmm. I want to say that again because this is profound. Stop comparing your real life with other people's highlight reels. And I don't mean to do this, but I do it. Because I create content and make videos and I do podcasts. Of course, I'm always bringing my A game. I'm trying to be positive. I'm on here trying to inspire you. We're talking about great things and, oh, look with this. Look what I did. And you just, all you got to do is systemize your business and you can have a bajillion dollars. Well, it's not really actually like that. Like there's a bigger conversation around that. And like Ashley just said, sometimes surviving and not stopping is the biggest win you'll ever have in your life. Sometimes not getting that corporate job and giving it one more season because you believe in yourself is a bigger win than a company that goes from 1.5 to 2.2 million. Who cares about that? It's infinitely harder for the little guy who's struggling, whose family's beating him up, saying, you clean things? Oh, you have a service company? That's cute. Why don't you get a real job? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to come back to reality? Gosh, you know, don't you love your kids? Aren't you going to get a real job? Flush all that garbage down the toilet. And if you have the courage to keep going, then that's your win. And if you can't celebrate with a steak dinner because you have no money, celebrate with a Twinkie dinner.
That'd be fun.
But still, get your family around and say, we're having Twinkies tonight to commemorate a year of pain. And to commemorate the fact that I'm not stopping. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to improve myself. And I'm going to become the person I need to be to have what it is that this family wants, period. You think your kids are going to beat you up for that? Or are they going to jump on you and climb on you and give you noogies and say you're the greatest dad ever? What do you think?
I think that's awesome. And I think also, same with marriage. You're still married. Maybe your marriage wasn't a great last year. You're still married, so you can dust it off. And maybe there are people that did get divorced or whatever, and I don't know. I just feel like you said, the internet can really portray certain things. And we just had this awesome AGSX event in October. It was amazing. And Josh and I did a relationship and business conference, and it wasn't anything fancy. It was just us talking about it, and we're not marriage experts. This is what we said. We just are experts at not giving up. And so this year, my hope and my prayer is that as entrepreneurs and as entrepreneur spouses, you won't give up. You'll hang in there and you'll fight. Fight to win.
Perfectly said. I have nothing better than that to add. Listen, guys, if you want to do me a solid and give me a digital high five, go to iTunes, give me a 5-star review. I really, really, really want to get to 250 5-star reviews by the end of the year. It's kind of a big goal because it's annoying to give reviews, but if you're getting value out of this, can you push pause in your life for like 93 seconds and make that happen for me? I would be so grateful. Also, if you're interested in learning how to dominate your local market and become a nightmare to compete with, you got to check out Send Gym. Send Gym is the software company I'm talking about. It's my passion. I started it out of a need for myself, and I've been building it, and we've been helping thousands of companies all over the United States. It's unbelievable. You got to check it out. Go to sendgym.com. Check it out. Guys, I love you all. Have a great day and a great 2018. God bless. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.